Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the ancient words that you have given to us that are still so alive and relevant to us today. They're living words. And Father, as we look at your ancient words tonight that are still living and vibrant and vital, we ask that you would quicken our spirits and increase our faith and strengthen us in your love. Amen. I was just felt nudged by the Holy Spirit to read some passages of Scripture tonight and to share with you some of the incredible things that I have seen Jesus do in my own world, among ordinary people, at CFO, just in daily life, that Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is still doing actively and vibrantly what he did in the days of the New Testament, as recorded in Scripture. So I'm going to read a few passages of Scripture. And the first one is Romans 10:17. And it says, so faith comes by hearing. And I'm reading from the Amplified, and it says, what is told and what is heard. It comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And ancient words from Isaiah tell us of a prophetic utterance concerning Christ in Isaiah 53:5-5. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains and acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. And this is really important. Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, weakness, and distresses, and has carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. We considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement of peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Clear back in the day of Isaiah, ancient words that are living, vibrant, and living today. And Matthew 14:14 says, when Jesus went ashore and saw the great throng of people, he had compassion for them, and he cured their sick. And in Matthew 15:28, it tells us, then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was cured from that moment. And Jesus went on from there and passed along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he went up into the hills and he sat there. And a great multitude came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the dumb, and many others. And they put them down at his feet, and he cured them. Remember, Jesus is the same. In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, today. Jesus is the same as he was when he sat on that mountain and cured all who came. In Mark 9:24, he says, all things are possible to them who believe. A couple years ago, we were spending time taking my mother to tests and learning that she had inoperable, incurable cancer, that it was in her lungs and her liver and her lymph system. And they had done biopsies and all kinds of other tests, and all were conclusive medically that this was her case. Being 84, she said, I'm not going to put myself through chemo. I am not going to do anything to prolong my life, but I am going to trust in Jesus. They sent us to the cancer center to set up a plan for managing her pain till the end of her life. And somewhere in the midst of all this, a little group of people gathered around her and prayed. And her pain left. And she began to have these coughing spells. And she would cough up these brown stones that looked sort of like gallstones that the doctors had never seen before. And this went on for a month. And the coughing spells were pretty rough on her. And she was in a very weakened condition. But she had no pain. And the doctors kept saying, how come you're not in pain? She should have been in terrible pain, they said. She had no pain. So toward the end of the month, they decided to run some more tests because she just wasn't doing what they expected. And they ran some more tests, and then they ran some more tests, and finally they come back and said, we cannot find any cancer in your body. My mom will be, she just turned 86, and she has been pain-free and cancer-free for the last 2 years. That's my mother. I saw it with my own eyes. Let's give the Lord a hand of clap. I sat with her when she coughed up those stones, the strangest thing. You know, God's amazing. And she said, I know this old cancer's coming out of me. And she would cough and she'd say, there's some more of it. I just want to get rid of that stuff. And she is healed. She's doing well. My dad is 88 and they're just as happy as can be, having a great time together. My cousin's son, Matthew, was out hunting gophers, and in Montana, everybody hunt, well, most, you know, a lot of us hunt and have guns, and it's just a way of life. I hunt. I've hunted elk and deer and antelope, and I practice target practice with gophers, and I've killed them, all of those creatures, and even got to shoot a buffalo once out in the wild. On the crow's buffalo herd, so it was legal. But my cousin's sons were out, and some boys were out hunting, and he was just getting ready to go into high school. He was 14, and somebody didn't put their rifle in the truck correctly, and it went off and shot him in the head. And they were way out in the country. And by all accounts, he should have never made it to the hospital. But his mother was a praying woman. And she got to him and held him and began to pray and command him to live and to breathe. And he made it to the hospital, and they performed Barry's surgery. And the doctor who performed the surgery said, "He can only be a vegetable. I know what I took out of his brain." And much prayer from many, many people. They soaked and saturated that boy in prayer. Well, he graduated from high school as the valedictorian of his class. And he stood and gave a valedictorian speech and talked about the miracle of God's healing him. He graduated from college with a 4 point in accounting. Now, he does have some crippling, but the doctors, there was a big article in our newspaper, and the doctor said he has brain function where he has no brain. That's a miracle of God. And he has shared his story with so many people, and so many lives have been touched by his story. And we spent hours and days with his parents in the hospital, and his mom stayed with us, and it was just a soaking prayer, the miraculous love of God that brought his healing. See, God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have seen him do the work of the book of the Gospels and the book of Acts. I have seen him still doing that work today. And he can do it in our midst. We were in a CFO speaking, my husband and I, in Canada. And my husband happened to be the speaker that night. And as he was talking, all of a sudden, a young girl in the back began to yell at the top of her lungs. And he stopped. And her mother jumped up and she said, "She's healed! She's healed!" She was hearing for the very first time in her life. She had cerebral palsy. She was crippled. And she had never spoken. And our daughters were in camp with us. And they were about her age. And then the healing progressed, and she began to speak what she was hearing. And then she discovered that she could run. Now, we sang, "Silver and gold have I none, and such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I want to tell you that those children went running and leaping and praising God. The children in the camp were so filled with joy. They ran, they leaped, they praised God, they fell to the ground, they laughed, they cried, they jumped up, they ran, they leaped, they praised God. And they stayed up all night teaching her how to talk. That was at CFO, guys. Just a sovereign work of God. Because he loved a little girl. All things are possible. Only believe. We were in Rhythms in Montana CFO. And we were going through just a Rhythms exercise of putting on the full armor of God. And there was a woman lame in the camp. And when they were shodding her feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace and praying over her feet and her legs, all of a sudden she started leaping and jumping and laughing and hollering because God healed her lame leg right there in Rhythms. I think God wants to expand our possibility thinking. I think he wants to open our hearts and our eyes to believe and to receive what Jesus died on the cross to give to us, what he came to do to accomplish. I know a young man who was riding a dirt bike down a mountainside, and he wrecked, and he slammed into a cement wall, and his face hit the wall, one whole side of his face, and it looked like hamburger. It broke his nose. His eye, he could not see. He was very ill. He had pulsating, blinding headaches, nausea. You know, he was really injured. His face was all skinned up, but his eye looked like it had been destroyed. And he was our renter. And so we asked if we could pray for him. And we brought him in and sat him down and started talking to him about God's love and that God could heal and that God wanted to touch him. And we talked to him about accepting God's love by believing in Jesus Christ and just several things that went on there. The Lord was just kind of giving us an understanding of where he was coming from and what his feelings and thoughts were. And as we shared that with him, and then we prayed. It was instant. Instant vision. Instantly, the stabbing pain stopped. Instantly, his vision cleared. Instantly, all of the blood and his eye, you could not tell it was an eyeball. It looked like one of these horrible, it looked like hamburger, his eyeball did. And it was instantly healed. And he's gone to CFO a lot with us. And he's growing in God. It was an instant thing. We watched it happen. I just want to tell you, and I felt like the Lord put it on my heart to share these things with you, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our hearts to really hear from the depth of our spirit and to receive the faith to know that what you did when you walked this earth, that you are still walking this earth doing the same thing for your children. My father-in-law, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am telling you things that I have not just heard, but I have been involved and seen with my own eyes, witnessed. My father-in-law had a heart attack. He was in the hospital. He was hooked up to all the monitors. Everything went dead. The nurses said, "We've lost him." The family was gathered all around the bed. And there was just such a sweet, wonderful presence of the Lord in the room. It was just thick with the presence of the Lord. Nobody could seem to move or anything. And the nurse pronounced him dead and was going to get the doctor and, you know, do whatever. And just this time of this being in the presence. And then my mother-in-law, Jean, she just started to pray, "Lord, you are the giver of life. Lord, all is life. We are just speaking life here, life." For about a half an hour to 45 minutes, they bask in that presence and the speaking of life. When all of a sudden, you guessed it, the monitors started up. Everything came back. And within just a very short time, he was sitting up and eating soup. No brain damage. No organ damages. He lived 6 more years working in a mill, hard labor. A miracle. An absolute miracle. Now we said to him, "What happened?" "Well, you were gone." He said, "All I can tell you is that God is love. God is love." And he said, "I bask in love. God is love." That was my father-in-law. What a gift. Well, there was my father. I was 10. We lived in the country. He was having a heart attack. He'd had scarlet fever as a little boy, and his heart was damaged. And he was frequently had these attacks. This was really bad. And he had an out-of-body experience. He grew cold on the bed. My mom was sure we'd lost him. We didn't have any medical people there to say it. But his feet were cold, his hands were cold, he was turning blue. Our family and a few friends were gathered around his bed praying. He left his body. He looked down upon us. He saw the weeping. My mom would have been left at that time with 8 children to try to cope with by herself. He was drawn through a tunnel of light, drawn through a tunnel to light, given a choice. And he chose to come back, because he didn't want to leave my mom alone with us kids. Came back to his body. Later on, he had some tests done, physicals. They told him he had the heart of a young man. He's 88. He ranched all his life. He sold one ranch at 78, moved all his cattle and all of his equipment across the state of Montana, about 250, 300 miles, and continued ranching until he was 84. And he's still going strong. He is a tough guy. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, he was using the table saw and he cut a finger off. I mean, just doesn't quit. But God raised him up. There was no medical anything. It was a miracle of God. I'm going to look at another scripture. Luke 7:11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great throng accompanied him. Just as he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large gathering from the town was accompanying her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he went forward and touched the funeral briar, and the pallbearers stood, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the man who was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. That's what I experienced as a child. The Lord had compassion on my mother and gave her back her husband and my father. Profound and reverent fear seized them all, And they began to recognize God and praise and give thanks, saying, a great prophet has appeared among us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can do for you whatever you ask. He is able to do. These aren't things that happened in big revival meetings with powerhouse evangelists. These aren't things that happened a long time ago in other eras and ages. These are things that I have seen with my own eyes in my own life. Among ordinary people, just like you and me, who simply believed what the Word said. It's that simple. Now, I will tell you, in all fairness, that at the same time that my mother had cancer, I had a cousin who has had cancer, and we had a very, very dear, dear, close minister friend who had leukemia. And all of them received an intensive amount of prayer. And they died. So I don't presume to figure out the whys and figure God out. But I do know that He does tell us to ask. And to keep on asking. And to ask in faith, believing. Now, there was a man who brought his son to Jesus. And let me see if I can find this one. And he was having a hard time believing. And he cried out to God. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I've had to cry out to God, Lord, I'm having a hard time having faith here. Help my unbelief. Give me faith, Lord. Give me faith to believe that your word, in your word, you will do what you say you will do. My daughter-in-law, Shauna, had just given birth to her fourth child. She had four children in 5 years. And when she had gotten pregnant with, just before she was pregnant with the fourth child, I told my son, I said, you know, that's really hard on a woman's body. You better, you know, give her some time. I mean, really, three children in 4 years is what she'd had. And then he kind of grinned at me, but I didn't, she was already pregnant, and he finally got the nerve to tell me. But right 2 days after the baby was born, or three, she was just barely out of the hospital. All of a sudden, she was standing in a gas station when her jugular imploded. And it went from, in just seconds, it went to the size of a grapefruit on her neck. It was called a fistula, I think. I'm not sure all the medical. I just know what we saw. And it just so happened that an EMT was standing in the gas station beside her. And they got her immediate help and got her life flighted to our hospital in Missoula because she was 60 miles from the hospital. And they did a life-saving emergency surgery. They hoped was life-saving, not sure. And life flighted her to Seattle. They didn't know if they could save her life. She had a rare form of I've lost it. It'll come back to me. But a rare form of tumors in her neck and in her brain that had caused, and she had produced so much blood from her pregnancies that her body couldn't handle it anymore, and it had just flowed into the jugular area and expanded. Lots of prayer. My son and I left for Seattle. My daughter and her stepmother took the newborn baby took it home. Well, long story short, another life flight to Seattle, about 12 hours of surgery, and much, much, much prayer. She is well. She came home to us. And I know that the medical field played a big part in that and did a lot, but she was an experiment at Harbor View in Seattle. And the surgeries were experimental. Her case was, she went to Mayo in Rochester, and they said her case was extremely rare and unusual. And everything they had to do with her was experimental. But God intervened. He gave them wisdom. And she's doing great. She's raising her four children and works a job on the side and has all the energy in the world. And God is good. God is really good. Mark 9:24 says, as they were coming back down the mountain, Mark 9:24. And Jesus said, you say to me, if you can do anything, why do you ask that? All things are possible to him who believes. And at once the father of the boy gave an eager, piercing, inarticulate cry with tears and said, Lord, I believe. Help my weakness of faith. But when Jesus noticed that a crowd of people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you to come out of him and never go into him again. And after giving a hoarse clamor, fear-stricken shriek of anguish, it came out, and the boy lay pale and motionless, so that many said he was dead. But Jesus took a grip of his hand, and he lifted him up, and he stood. Our God can do anything if we only believe. I want to tell you a story about Randy. This happened at CFO. Randy came to CFO, a very troubled young man. In a drug deal gone bad, that he had gone to a house unknowingly, that it was a drug deal, he had gone with his brother to a house. And the dealers opened fire on his brother and him. His brother shoved him in a closet, and as the bullets riddled his brother's body, he fell across him and died on top of him. When the police came and the sirens, because of the shooting, they were called, they found him laying there in the closet. And from the point of that incident until the time that Randy was at camp, which was about 2 years, he had not slept through the night. The nightmares, the terrors, the fear, the anguish of what he had gone through. And so through healing prayer at CFO, taking him through forgiveness and revisiting the scene with Jesus, and having Jesus walk through the scene with him and share what he was seeing and feeling, there came a point where Randy just let out a sigh and he said, Jesus is telling me to walk away from my brother's body, that he's going to take him. And he was able to let go. See, all that time he had felt that he was reliving the scene over and over and over. And he just felt that he was tied to his dead brother's body. But the Lord set him free. And that night, he slept through the entire night with no medication, in perfect peace. And all the nights after that at camp, he slept in peace. No more visiting of the nightmares. No more terror. That's the kind of love that Jesus has for us. That's the kind of hope he has for us. That's the kind of help he has for us. He says, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. He says, ask and keep on asking. Don't give up. My God is able to do far above and beyond, exceedingly more than we can imagine, ask, or think. Our God is able to do above and beyond and exceedingly far greater things than we can ever ask or think. Do you want another story? I'm not that old. I've seen a lot. My dad has written a list of the miracles that our family has experienced as a family. And he has filled up three sides of a sheet of notebook paper, one-liners for every miracle. And he has written that down to share with his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren as a heritage of faith in the Lord. Isn't that incredible? That's an incredible gift. Jimmy had lung disease, and he had heart disease, and he was in the hospital in our community, and his wife came to the community to stay with him in the hospital, and so somebody gave her our name, and we reached out, and somebody hosted her in their home, and we just embraced her in our church, and Jimmy was in the hospital for a month or more. And my husband would go visit him and never saw him that he wasn't unconscious, laying in the hospital bed. And his vital signs were dropping. But sometime during that time, when Gloria came to church, she would ask us to pray for Jimmy, and the church would pray. And one Sunday morning, a young man stood up and said, Gloria, the Lord just spoke to me. He is going to give your husband a new heart. Hang on in faith. And she took that word and sat by his bed day after day praying for him. And one night we got a call and she said, would you come stay and pray with me tonight? They've told me he won't live till morning. But I believe God's going to heal him. And we went and we spent the night in prayer with her by her bed. And can I confess to you, I didn't have very much faith. I supported her because I cared about her, but my faith was just about nil. But you know, we had to leave and go to a funeral. My husband had a funeral. And we left. He was still in the same shape, but he was alive. They said he wouldn't make it, and he was still alive. Well, about 15 minutes after we left the hospital, he suddenly woke up, sat up, and he had new life. And when my husband got back up there after the funeral, he was eating his lunch, sitting on the edge of the bed, ready to visit. And Gloria had to introduce him to my husband. And he had tests run. And the doctors told him that he had the heart of a 16-year-old man. His lungs were so bad they couldn't operate on his heart. And his heart was so bad they couldn't do anything about his lungs. And he lived for several years, sharing his story with everybody who would listen, praying for anybody who'd let him pray for them, full of Jesus, full of love, full of exuberance, and full of the Holy Spirit. Now, just a couple months ago, my brother-in-law was out in the field, and his aorta ruptured. and it was bleeding, leaking, and excruciating pain. He made it somehow to the house, and they thought it was his back. He had been trying to lift some big piece of equipment. He's a rancher. And his wife got him in the car and got him to this little hospital. You have to understand, in Montana, population, our biggest city is 100,000. The next biggest is 80. And we have these rural areas where there's like maybe 15 and a hospital that services that area. So you got to think about how small this is. One doctor, a few nurses, maybe two doctors. It's small. He arrives at the hospital. He's saying it's his back. They have him standing up there to do x-rays. He collapses. The aorta ruptures completely. It's no longer just leaking. It's full blown. Little tiny hospital. He should be dead. He's too critical to life flight. There's no time. The doctor, the resident doctor, just happened to be a surgeon. And he came to my brother-in-law and he said, "You're going to die. But I have operated on several other people who've had this, and none of them have lived. But," and my brother-in-law is a believer, "if you want me to give it a try, I will. If I have the equipment to do it." And my brother-in-law said, "Well, I guess I don't have anything to lose. I'm ready to go be with Jesus if he takes me, but I'm ready to live if he so chooses." And all the family was gathered praying. We were a couple hundred miles away, but everybody had been called, and we'd all started praying. And it just so happened that somebody remembered that one other time they had sent two of the, I don't know what they call them, because I'm not, but the tubing that they wrap around that aorta to fix it, it's about as 1 inch in diameter, about the size of a garden hose. And it just so happened that the one that wasn't used, that was stuck back in an archive somewhere, was the one that would work for where his rupture was. And it just so happened that they were able to gather a medical team in a few minutes. People who had to come from, you know, all around the community. I mean, they didn't live in the city. They live in the country. And the city, you know, I mean, it's not a city. It's a little burg. They all gathered. And he lives. He was touch and go for several days. And people just surrounded his bed in prayer. And he is doing very well. My husband performed the wedding for his son a couple weeks later, and he was attending the wedding. Amazing. The doctor said, the surgeon was a Christian, and he prayed, and the whole hospital staff team prayed before he went into surgery. And when the family come, the doctor was walking around with that piece of tubing in his pocket, and he put out and with tears in his eyes. Because he was a friend of George's. You know, you're also a friend with everybody in the community. That sucks. And he knew him. Look what God did. That was just a couple months ago, this spring. Is your God alive? Is he well? Can he do for you what he's done for others? He can. And he will. He can. And he will. We serve a powerful, mighty, awesome God. And I want you to say it with me. He is the same. Yesterday. Today. And forever. forever. He is the same. Oh, you know, with my brother-in-law story, they also just happened to have 8 units of blood that was his type. Why did they have 8 units of blood in this podunk hospital that was my brother-in-law's type? But they did. And the witness, the love of Jesus being shed and shared throughout that community was incredible. Everybody knew George was alive because of Jesus. Everybody knew. Well, I could tell you one more story and then I'll close. This was my other brother-in-law. I have to tell you the most important story. This is my other brother-in-law. Brain aneurysm. Core of his brain. Extremely large. He died. The doctor said we were losing him as they were life-flighting him from a little podunk town in Roswell, New Mexico, to Albuquerque, to the university. But on that flight, he didn't know he died. He was in the arms of Jesus. That's what he felt, that he was just in the arms of Jesus and he was filled with peace. And he woke up. And he was transformed. This guy will drive you crazy. He's so exuberant about Jesus. And he had a long recovery. But he's back. He's a troubleshooter for oil rigs. High-tech stuff. And he's back full-time on the job and has lived for 10 years after that incident. Still alive, still going strong, and incredibly passionate about Jesus. The last one, my husband. Out chopping wood, out getting wood, way out in the country. Everything you do in Montana is way out in the country. Had a heart attack. He paid $25 for this pickup load of wood. He was not going to waste his $25. He's with my son-in-law and daughter. He said, we're going to finish loading this wood. He'd sit in the truck in excruciating pain, bent over, catching his breath, get out, pick up a few pieces of wood, put them in the truck. I get a phone call. I'm in town. My daughter said, Mom, I think Dad's having a heart attack, and he won't quit getting wood. I said, well, get him to the hospital. There's a little hospital in that area. Well, they aren't very forceful children, and he made them finish loading the truck. They got done, and they took him to the little hospital there, and sure enough, he was having a heart attack. The doc said, you're getting on the chopper. You're heading to Missoula. They gave him stabilizing stuff, got him to Missoula. Went in and did a heart cath. It had a blood clot. Hit his artery. The only thing is, it hit the beginning of his artery. They discovered he only had one artery in his whole heart. He's an anomaly. Nowhere in medical history recorded is there another like him. I always told him I knew that. I knew that he had an unusual heart. He has no left valves and no left arteries. And the doctor, so he's a study. He's a case study now. The doctors love to see him. They take all kinds of pictures of him, and they're always trying to figure out different ways to take care of him. But the doctors told us, the surgeon said, we don't know why you're here. When that blood clot hit the beginning of your one artery, you have no backup plan. Other people can have a blood clot hit one vessel in their vein in their heart, and they've got two more to pick it up, but you don't have those. So we knew that God had given us a miracle. And it's just amazing. They didn't even have, he had collapsed arteries, cleared down at the end of that one artery, and they didn't even have equipment that went that far because his one artery is enormous and long. It's the longest artery they've ever seen. But, you know, they worked and we prayed and God worked and they were able to fix him. But there was a period of time there when the doctor came out and said to me, the surgeon came out and he was white-faced. And we've been in a lot of hospital settings with a lot of people. I've never seen a surgeon look like he did. And he said, Mrs. Johnson, I do not know if I can help your husband. He said, he has a deformed heart. I've done 19,000 plus stents. I have never seen a heart like this. He said, I don't know what I can do. I said, well, what does that mean? He says, it means I don't know if we can do anything. And he was trying to tell me, it means if I can't do something, your husband's going to die. And we got on the phone and called everybody we knew and that it wasn't already there. And everybody went to prayer. And he came out 45 minutes later and he said, I figured out a way. God gave him wisdom. And my husband's doing well. That was an incredible miracle. That happened 2 years ago. You know, I teased him because just prior to his heart attack, we'd been fishing in Alaska. Our kids gave us an Alaskan trip for our 35th anniversary, a dream that he'd always had. He'd caught a 5-foot northern pike, which is a trophy. Huge, huge fish. You know, for us, you know, we don't catch the ocean ones. But then he'd also caught a large halibut. He was having a heyday. I told him that's what caused his heart attack. That's what caused his blood clot. No more fishing for you. He doesn't like to hear that. He's wanting another trip. But God is so good. I serve a living God who is able to do far above and exceedingly greater beyond anything that I can imagine or think. And I am so thankful tonight that I have been so privileged to have my faith built in such a powerful way. And what he can do, what he does for me, he can do for you. He'll do for others. Anything he's done for anyone else. So I just want to leave you with those thoughts and pray that your faith be built up as we go into the blessing and the healing service tonight. God bless you.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.